Job chapter number 16 this evening, Job chapter number 16, and I'll be looking at verses 1 through 5, Job 16 verses 1 through 5 this evening, and as we look at this particular portion of Scripture, we'll find that Job is responding, he's answering one of the friends, Eliphaz, his speech, and he's giving an answer, Job is. We understand that the book of Job begins by recording the trials of Job. When you read the first and second chapters of the book of Job, you find that there was just much that transpired in a very quick manner of time in the life of Job. And we're told in Job chapter number 2 in verse number 11 that he had some friends that heard about his troubles. And these friends determined that after hearing of the situation that they were going to come. And in Job 2 and verse number 11, they have a twofold purpose for them coming to where Job is. And it was one, to mourn with him, and two, to comfort him. And so that was their stated purpose according to Job 2 and verse number 11. They heard about his situation. They heard of all that was transpired or had transpired. And they said, we're going to go to our friend and we're going to mourn with him and we're going to comfort him. The passage of Scripture that is before us this evening, as I mentioned, Job is responding to Eliphaz. And in fact, one of the most, I shouldn't say the most familiar, but one of the well-known verses of the book of Job is found within our text this evening. Many times we're familiar with that phrase when Job declares, miserable comforters are ye all. And that's Job 16 in verse number 2. And we find that Job is responding. Notice in verse number 1, then Job answered and said, I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are ye all. Now that's kind of a bad deal if they came with the stated purpose of one, mourning with him, and two, comforting him. And Job says, miserable comforters are ye all, right? That was their purpose. That was their aim. That was their goal, to go and to comfort this man. And Job says, you're miserable comforters. Verse 3, shall vain words have an end? Or what emboldeneth thee that thou answerest? I also could speak as ye do. If your soul were in my soul's stead, I could heap up words against you and shake mine head at you. Notice the conjunction that begins verse number 5. But I would strengthen you with my mouth, and the moving of my lips should assuage your grief. I want to share a thought with you this evening. I've titled the message from verse number 5, I would strengthen you with my mouth. I would strengthen you with my mouth. These verses of Scripture really provide for us a contrast between the words of these friends and the words of Job. We, of course, understand that our words have much power. In fact, the wise man notes in Proverbs 18 and verse number 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. That's Proverbs 18:21a, the first part of the verse. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And we understand the Word of God has much to say about our words. And we understand, if you are taking notes, number one this evening, just simply consider the impact of our words. In verses 2 through 4, Job, as he's responding to these men, these friends that came, again with the expressed purpose, the stated purpose of mourning with him and comforting him, according to what we read in Job 2 and verse number 11, we find that instead of them comforting him, instead of their words being used to help him, rather they hurt him. And the Bible says that Job, as he's responding and answering Eliphaz here, it says, I have heard many such things. Notice how he refers to it in verse number 3. Shall vain words have an end? Or what emboldeneth thee that thou answerest? He says, I could speak as ye do. If you were in the same position that I am in, if your soul were in my soul's stead, and you think about the heaviness of Job after all that he experienced in Job 1 and 2 and all that had transpired, he says, I could heap up words against you. and shake mine head at you. See, that's what they were doing. They were speaking. They were heaping up these words against Job. Notice maybe on the same page of your Bible, but in chapter 19, look at verse number 2. Look at what Job says. In Job 19, Job is not responding to Eliphaz. He's not responding to Bildad. And we find that as Bildad then gives his speech, and they're just kind of going back and forth, and one of these friends will give a speech, and then Job will reply, and then another friend will give a speech, and then Job will reply, and that's the main part of the book of Job as far as chapters 3 through almost the end of the book. You see this back and forth dialogue that's taking place. But here, as Job would answer Bildad in Job 19, notice what he says in verse number 2. How long will ye vex my soul and break me in pieces? How? With words. With words. He says, how long are you going to, notice what they're doing, vex my soul and break me in pieces? Now, it's interesting as we think about the impact of our words, and we think about these friends, and back in Job chapter number 2, I mean, they had a good purpose, they had a good reason for coming to Job, but we find that they fail miserably. They come to this place, and Job says that the words that I'm hearing from you, that these words are vain words, and he tells them that they're miserable comforters. He then will tell them that he, by their words, that they're vexing his soul and breaking him in pieces. We're not studying all of the words of what these individuals have said. It would take us longer than just the short time that we have this evening in order to do that. But if you go back and you read through the book of Job, you find that there are many accusations that are sent against Job from these friends. And we find that Job is giving this answer, and he's helping us to recognize this evening the impact of our words. No doubt many of you probably at some point said or heard said that little thing of sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. How many of you heard that when you were a kid? You said it, whatever. You know, I understand the saying, and I understand people using it, but the reality is that words can hurt. What people say, the way that we use our tongue, the way that we use our mouth, our words, our speech, we can hurt people. And Job reveals that to us when he says that they're miserable comforters, when he tells them that they break me in pieces with words. And so remember, Solomon said in Proverbs 18 and verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And so what a great contrast, death and life in the power of the tongue. And we find here that there is a great impact that our words have. The people that speak to us, their words have impact. The way in which we use our words, they impact people. But I want you to consider not only the impact of our words in these first few verses of Job 16, but I want you to consider the intent of Job. Notice what he says in verse number 5. We've made note of it by way of giving our title for the message this evening. But we see that there's this conjunction. He says to them as he answers them in verses 2, 3, and 4, he says, this is the way that you're using your words. This is the impact of your words. This is the result of what you're saying. You're miserable comforters. But I... Remember, he says, I could heap up words against you if you were in my stead. If we would switch places here, I could speak the same way that you are. But notice the intent of Job, twofold. Number one, I would strengthen you with my mouth. I would strengthen you with my mouth. And then notice, and the moving of my lips should assuage your grief. How Job would use his words as he makes this declaration in verse number 5 as he would respond to Eliphaz and tell him that you guys came to mourn with me and to comfort me, but miserable comforters are you all, and you've used your words and they're vain words, and you've used your words and they're hurtful and they're not helpful. But if you were in my place, if I had the roles reversed and I were coming to you, I would use my mouth, first of all, to strengthen you. Wow, that's a good purpose, is it not? And you think about you ever hear somebody say, you should think before you speak. Or maybe you've said, I didn't think before I spoke. You ever wish you could take some words back, but once they pass that gate of your lips, they're kind of already out there, and you say, oh man, that's not what I really wanted to say. I wasn't thinking when I said that. I would submit to you this evening that if we take the approach of Job here, what he says in verse number 5, if we have this same intent, this same purpose, if you will, on how we would use our words, that he says, I would strengthen you with my mouth. That's going to require us to think about what we're going to say. How can I strengthen somebody with the words of my mouth? It's going to have to require that we are thoughtful and we are specific and very pointed in the things that we say, and that we are going to give these words understanding that we're seeking to strengthen someone. That's why it's helpful to let the Word of God get into you, because then you can speak the Word of God to people. And when you're speaking the Word of God to people, it is God's Word that you're speaking to them, and your mouth is being used to strengthen them because you're speaking the words of God. I know that as we look at Psalm 119, and there's so many references in that portion of Scripture that are so impactful for the believer, and just the way in which God's Word would influence us. And as we've looked through that passage in years gone by, we made note that the psalmist really had a desire to think and act biblically. And the more we get into the Word of God, and the more we allow the Word of God to get into us, the more we're able to use the Word of God in seeking to encourage and strengthen others. We need to be calculated in how we would speak to people, in the words that we would choose to use. I find not only does Job say that he would strengthen them, he says, I would strengthen you with my mouth, but notice the last part of verse number 5, he says, and the moving of my lips should assuage your grief. That phraseology carries with it the idea of easing or lessening your grief. And we look to the Word of God again as we allow the Word of God to get into us, and we begin to respond. There were some things that these friends understood about the principle of sowing and reaping. They understood some of the principle, the law, if you will, that God has established, that, be not deceived, God is not mocked, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. That is a Bible principle, a Bible truth. But there's also the fact that times in our lives, that here for Job, it was not necessarily a corrective thing that was going on in Job 1. It was a pruning thing. It was a proving thing. And the reality is that as we go through the Word of God and we are able to share truth with individuals, those that are hurting, listen, Job, he was hurting. His wife said, curse God and die. Then he has some friends come to mourn with him and to comfort him, and they're miserable comforters. You know, there are people that you come into contact with and I come into contact with that are hurting people. And there are times in which we may know just a little bit of what they're going through and how they're hurting. But God might allow us to be in a place where we could, as Job declares here, we could use our words to strengthen and to help assuage the grief of that individual. Notice what the psalmist says, a couple of truths that we understand. Notice Psalm 19. Psalm 19, again, when we think about the stated intent or purpose of Job and how he would use his words, it helps us to understand how we need to think before we speak. It helps us to be calculated in the things that we would say, such as the case even here in Psalm 19, a familiar verse of Scripture. In verse number 14, the psalm ends with this verse, and the psalmist says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. That would again require us to think before we speak. Is God going to be pleased with that which I'm going to communicate? It causes me to be calculated before I just begin to let me share with you. I mean, these friends, they kind of are, let me just share with you what I think. And let me just give it to you. And you know, you get to the end of the chapter and the young guy, he says, well, all these older guys have spoken and they haven't figured it out. So now I'm going to speak and I'm going to reveal wisdom to you. Notice over in the book of Ephesians, if you will. Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. And look at verse number 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. What's that second word? No. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But that which is good to the use of edifying, to edify, to build up, to encourage. What did Job say? To strengthen you, right? That's what he said. I would use my words. I would strengthen you with my mouth. And so here, the New Testament tells us that we're not to allow corrupt communication to proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Oh, we can use our speech in that manner. As I consider the passage in Job 16, as I think about the circumstances in which Job had endured and all that was going on, and I see his response to Eliphaz, and I consider his response to Bildad in chapter 19, and we see the impact of our words, but the stated intent or purpose of Job on how he would use his words, I then notice this. If you're taking notes, number 3, I want you to note the testimony of Job. It's interesting that here in chapter number 16 that Job is answering Eliphaz, and as he's answering Eliphaz, he says, here's what you guys have done, but I, if I were to speak to you, if you were in my place, if the roles were reversed, I could heap up words against you, I could shake mine head at you, but I would strengthen you with my mouth, and the moving of my lips should assuage your grief. That's his intent. That's his purpose. That's what he says he would do. But when I note the testimony of Job, really, if you go back to Job chapter number 4, you find that that's exactly what Job did. Notice, turn back to Job chapter number 4, if you will. It's very interesting. In Job chapter number 4, we read the first speech of Eliphaz. Now remember, this is the fellow that Job is responding to, and it's really the second speech of Eliphaz that he's speaking to in chapter number 16, and he's responding to that particular speech. But we find that Job chapter number 4 records for us the first speech of this man Eliphaz the Temanite. Notice it says this in verse number 1, then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, if we essay to commune with thee, wilt thou be grieved? But who can withhold himself from speaking? Notice what he says about Job in verses 3 and 4. Now understand, in chapter number 16, we're reading the words of Job. We're reading that Job says, this is what I would do. I would strengthen you with my mouth. I would use my words to assuage your grief. But here in chapter number 4, this is what Eliphaz is saying that Job did. Verse 3, behold, thou hast instructed many, and thou hast strengthened the weak hands. Well, that's a great testimony, is it not? That Job was known by Eliphaz to do two things according to verse number 3. Number one, he instructed many. We know that as we read the book of Job and you go through the entirety of the book, you understand that Job was a very profitable man, been blessed by God in a very distinct way. And Job, according to verse number 3, he had great influence because the Bible says that Eliphaz says, thou hast instructed many. We can use our mouth, our words, our lips to instruct individuals, but we also notice that in verse number 3, it says this, and thou hast strengthened the weak hands. What is it that Job said he would do? I would strengthen you. Is that not what he said? In verse number 5 of Job 16, he says, I would strengthen you with my mouth. What Eliphaz said in his first speech as he begins, he says, Job, you have instructed many, but also you have strengthened the weak hands. Notice verse number 4, thy words. So we understand that's how Job did it, right? Job instructed, he strengthened the weak hands with his words. Thy words have upholden him that was falling, and thou hast strengthened the feeble knees. Well, praise the Lord for that testimony. That Job had this testimony that Eliphaz says, this is what you have done. Job, you have been in a position earlier in your life, many, many times in your life, you've been in the position where you've been able to instruct people. You've been in the position that you've been able to strengthen people. You have done this. Obviously, we find in verse number 5, he says, but now it has come upon thee, and thou faintest, it toucheth thee, and thou art troubled. And so he's thinking that he's going to now share some words and try to help Job through this situation. And we find, even as we mentioned in our text in Job 16, that they're miserable comforters, and they did not use their words to strengthen or to instruct, but rather to these vain words that were used, according to what we read in Job chapter 19, that they were vexing his soul and breaking in pieces his bones with their words. And so this evening, as we look at this simple thought and this few passages of Scripture from the book of Job, I find that there's a lesson for us with regard to our words and how we would use our words. We understand that God says much about our speech, and our speech, we've mentioned a few other verses throughout the Scriptures this evening, and the Word of God obviously gives us instruction as to how we are to speak and the things that we are to say. But I would ask this evening, are we more like the friends of Job, or are we more like Job? Are we using our words to strengthen, to comfort, to help assuage the grief of those that we come into contact with? Or are we coming in with these words that are vain words? Are we hurting people instead of helping people? See, there's a great contrast in Job 16. And the reality is that these friends, according to Job 2 and verse number 11, I have not read that verse to you. I've referenced it a few times, but if you want to look at it, just so you can see what it says. Now, when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came, everyone from his own place, Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, for they had made an appointment together, notice, to come, to mourn with him, and to comfort him. But they were miserable comforters. They didn't use their words. They were not successful at using their words for the stated purpose of Job 2 and verse number 11. So if we were to evaluate our words, our speech this evening, would we align more with Job? As it says in chapter 4, instructing many, strengthening the weak hands, thy words have upholden him that was falling, thou hast strengthened the feeble knees. Or would we align more with the friends of Job? Eliphaz specifically being spoken to in chapter 16, Bildad specifically being spoken to in chapter 19. Vain words, hurtful words, destructive words. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And this evening, when we think about our words and we just evaluate, we think about this simple thought from the book of Job, I believe that when we keep this in mind and when we pray the prayer that the psalmist prayed in Psalm 19 and verse number 14, it would cause us to be in a position where we have to think before we speak. And we have to be calculated in the things that we say. Speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. You know, it's interesting to me, if you study the Bible, of course, obviously you're going to learn a lot of wonderful things as you study the Bible, and what a simple statement. But I think about the Apostle Paul. Paul said some things to some people, to some of the churches and some of the individuals that he ministered to, that were direct and could have been hurtful things. But he said them in love. If you look in the book at the book of First Thessalonians, when he speaks to the believers in Thessalonica, he tells those believers that he desired to send Timothy unto them so that Timothy could perfect that which was lacking in their faith. Now, when you're telling somebody that they have some areas in which they need to grow, that you're lacking in your faith, that could be taken wrong. But you know, it doesn't seem that the believers in Thessalonica took it wrong, because they knew that Paul was speaking it in love. He was trying to help them. He said, listen, there's some instruction that's needed, and we're going to provide a means in which that instruction can be provided. And so the reality is that it's not that we would use our words, that we would just lie to people to make them feel good. That's not the point of what I'm saying this evening. We need to speak the truth. We speak it in love. And we speak calculated. How can my words strengthen this individual? How can my words help assuage the grief that this individual is enduring at this particular time in their life? We begin to see that as we would evaluate our own words and our own opportunities, perhaps we could look at these comparisons, this contrast, if you will, between the words of Job and the words of his friends. And I just ask for a simple, I guess, evaluation of ourselves. On which side would we align? Would we align more with Job or more with his friends? I hope this evening that the answer would be that we align with Job. That we are using our words to strengthen, to help assuage the grief, to help strengthen those that are weak. And God will allow us to do so. We need to think. We need to be calculated in how we speak. Job says that he would strengthen them with the words of his mouth, or with his mouth he would strengthen them. And what a blessing. And not only do we see he intended to do that, he said that's what he would do, but he was known to have done that. That was his practice, according to what Eliphaz says of him in Job 4. What a great testimony that Job had, and oh, that we too would have a similar testimony. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. God, I pray that you would help us to evaluate our speech, that we would pray as the psalmist prayed in Psalm 19, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. That we would understand that we're to use our words according to what Paul tells the believers in Ephesus for the edifying of the brethren. Father, I pray that you'd help us to align with Job, that we would be purposed and calculated in the things that we would say, that we might be used of thee to help strengthen those that are weak, that we might help to assuage the grief of those that are enduring hardship. Lord, help us to speak the truth in love. I pray that you'd bless our time of prayer. We thank you so much for the privilege and for the opportunity in the middle of our week to come and not only study your word, but to spend time in prayer as a church family. We understand the significance of prayer, the importance, the priority of prayer. We pray that you'd be pleased with our time, and we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.